This is a nasty ass Wizard Sleeve production.
Creepy Uncles. Creepy Uncles. Creepy Uncles.
Your hosts this evening, John, Lewis, and Steven. Get your socks ready for the best podcast since Wizard Sleeve. Creepy Uncles! All right, let's sing.
Creepy Uncles!
All right, come on.
Creepy Uncles!
All right, come on.
Creepy Uncles!
Okay, kids, it's podcasting time.
Sorry, we just talked all over that.
Sorry, no, I'm going to delete that anyway.
Yeah, so, just dub it over.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
I'm a fucking genius.
He's a wizard.
Well, why don't you just, like, start recording then, just do that at the start anyway?
Because we get the feel for it, don't we, if we listen to it?
Yeah.
Get pumped. Feel it?
You get pumped.
I feel pumped.
Exactly. Yeah.
Welcome to Wizard Sleeve, episode 15. I'm Lewis Murphy. To my front is Stephen Hutchinson.
Hello.
And to my 3 o'clock is Jonathan Crilly.
Hello. Oh, I hate fucking Jonathan. Can we do that
I
again?
Hate Jonathan as well.
Jonathan Crilly.
Oh, we're not doing it a third time.
Jonathan Paul Crilly.
I have to start it twice.
I hate it. Call me Johnny or something.
Johnny C. Yeah. Really.
J.C.
John C. Really.
J.C. Really.
It's your rapper name, isn't it? For... Yeah. I could say it on a what? British huh? teeth. This is a rapper name.
J.C. Really.
J.C.
I thought it was Fat Shit.
Fat Shit.
I swear on this podcast.
Can you not?
Yeah, you can. Fuck.
Don't say fuck, no swearing.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's another Creepy Uncles. It's the three of us talking, well...
Bollocks.
Hopefully got a structure tonight, but... Mm-hmm. Probably not. It probably descended into complete anarchy, as usual.
We've tried, haven't we?
Yeah, we've tried. We've written some things down.
I've got some.
That's a big proud
of us. I've got a memo on my phone.
Oh, there it is. Good, with three things written on it.
Look at that. three unrelated items.
In-depth script work there for the podcast.
It says, remember podcast, get to podcast, go on from podcast.
Your name is John C. Really.
So what have we all been up to in this past week?
Keep stealing my lines. No, I'm kidding. Fuck all.
Well.
I got a PS4.
Right.
So yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Why did you choose a PS4 over a Xbox One?
I prefer the exclusive games.
Like what?
Like Uncharted and The Last of Us. If you ever play The Last of Us,
I'm sure
anyone that's listening who has played it will know that it's one of the best experiences in video gaming ever.
Mm.
And I played it on the PS3, and I got a PS4 mainly because, well, I'd saved up, and it was like, oh, you know, I want to make that decision, and I love that game so much, so when there is a sequel, or, you know, the next Uncharted comes out, you know, I can definitely play it then. I don't know, I just... It was a really hard toss-up between the two, but, you know, No one at home really gives a shit. Basically, I got a tax rebate and just went mad and got one. That's the cold hard truth of it. That's true.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that was it. John Crilly, what have you been up to, mate?
Not a lot. I went to see Mad Max finally. But we've talked about that, so we're not going to do that.
Did you like it, though?
Yeah, I loved it. Very good. No, I've not done a lot. Boring.
We'll probably bring it up again later, though, with the topic of the evening, which I'll tell them right now. It's this episode is all about sidekicks. Steve,
yeah.
What have you been up to, mate?
Well, it was my birthday this week, and
we're not singing it.
No,
yesterday.
I don't want you to.
Yesterday,
and then the week before that. I was in France touring with a band called Total Victory.
Ska band.
Ska band. Do you know, there's actually a really crap gospel band called Total Victory.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I'm saying the crap, that's, you know, it's subjective. You know, some people might love them, but
some people like.
But
Christian rock is shit.
No, it's good to know. I know the guys in the band, and they asked me to go along as like an extra driver, and then they asked me to play some songs with them, which was good. Good fun. And the venues in France, really good, packed out. Wide variety of venues, everything from like grotty little kind of punk bars in Marseille to huge open art spaces.
I saw that those pictures of the one that was seated.
Yeah, we played in a theatre. Like,
It looked cool. The stage and everything looked awesome.
The theatre was great, yeah, and the stage was good. And it's a bit misleading, that picture. There were people sat down, but then all at the sides, people were stood up.
Stood up, yeah.
But no, that was a really good. We spent a couple of days. I was in Grenoble, right in the middle of the Alps.
Yeah,
really nice views, really scenic vistas.
What was the weather like in Grenoble?
Weather was good. Grenoble was hot. It was cool, but it was hot. But then we went to Marseille, like right in the south. It was hot, but Marseille's fucking weird. Marseille, it's like concrete jungle, you know. You know, you see all these like kind of French kind of gritty dramas. They're all set in cities like Marseille, where like, you know, it's just like there's not an inch of wall that's not covered in graffiti, you know. Really good though, but like quite scary, you know, quite a few. You're not trying to kill me with a microphone.
Sorry, carry on.
It's gone.
It was like, it was a city we were most on edge in, because everyone, you know, there were a lot of people there who looked a bit kind of, perfectly fine, you know, probably, you know, it's just like that's the British interpretation of people stood on street corners,
yeah.
Whereas they're just chilling out, probably, you know. But the whole tour was great, you know. Got to see different parts of France and stuff. Good fun.
Xenophobia aside, the music scene in France. It compares to Britain's music scene.
Yeah, the thing is about the French music scene is that they're all really interested. All the music fans are all really interested in discovering new bands. They love British bands, especially if they sound a bit like Joy Division or, you know, some like post-punk kind of stuff, which is what they love. And Total Victory fit really well into that. They'll probably hate me for saying that they sound like Joy Division, but they all, you know, big influence on the band. There's no denying that, really, is there? But they fit very much into that remit that what French people look for in British bands, and they get them over, and that's the third tour that they've done around France now, and they've got like quite a
third
tour,
and who's the third?
And they've got quite, you know, really good following. They've got a better following in France than they have in the UK. Total Victory, and the promoters of the gigs will, you know, when you get there, they sort of show you around the venue, and then usually they'll sit you down and give you some food, you know, all really nice food, and load boxes of wine, like, just fucking flying in, and, like, beer and stuff like that. We were sat round in Grenoble. We stayed in Grenoble two nights at this person's house, and we're all sat around. There's six of us, British, and then there were probably about 6, 7 or 8 French people. We're all about the same age, you know. And they were saying, like, that we drink a lot of wine. Like, they gave us, they put, like, a box of red wine. I think they had 2 bottles of red wine and a box of red wine.
Yeah.
And all the French lot were drinking beer. They were drinking bottles of beer, where we're all nailing the red wine, like, because the red wine is really nice, and, like, all of us drink red wine anyway. And we were, like, proper quaffing this red wine. And then one of the guys, the guy whose house it was, he stood up and he walked behind. We're all sat in this like communal courtyard, and he stood up and he walked around. And one of them said to him in French, like, "Where are you going?" And he said, in French, he said, "I'm going to get some more wine for the roast beefs." But he said it in French.
Yeah.
But James, drummer in Total Victory, picked up on it, and he was like, "Hey, I heard that," because he said, you know, blah, 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 roast beefs. And I was kind of unaware that that's what the French call the British
roast beef.
But then after that, it was just like, "Come on, roast beefs, let's go." You know, you ready, roast beefs? So
compared to the music scene in Britain,
well, I mean, the music scene in Britain, in comparison, you know, you play a gig, and it's almost like the promoters make the band feel that they should be honoured to be playing this gig, that they've been given a gig. Mm. This is the exact opposite. You can genuinely see the joy on promoters and the audience's faces when they're watching the band and when they meet you afterwards. Mm. They genuinely treat you like a proper band, you know,
yeah,
with like real respect and stuff like that. I'm not saying like that's what we want, you know, we don't, Total Victory don't go out there to get that, you know, they don't search for that respect, but mm, they enjoy it because it's something different. Whereas in the UK, you play a gig, chances are the promoter might be there, and he might say, right, set your stuff up, and you're on at half ten, and then that's the last you'll see of him.
That's what you do look for, though, I think, if you're in a band. You do look for, you know, when we toured heavily with the Midians when we were younger, you know, and people would come up to you after the gig and they'd talk to you about your music and stuff like that.
I mean,
it gives you a buzz, and it's an extra, it's not like...
Yeah. It's not an ego thing.
No, it's not. You're not inflating your ego. It's just... When you're making music, you're doing it for yourself, but you're also trying to put it out there and to get feedback on it and to get a positive atmosphere from your music is exactly a massive buzz.
To have something that you've created, to have to for someone to come up to you and tell you that it's had an effect on them, that's really good. That I'm sure, you know, we've all had that. Yeah. We've all had people come up to us after gigs and saying how much they liked whatever song or the lyrics or, you know, something like that. Mm. And you do get a buzz off that, you know.
It's absolutely one of the nicest feelings.
Yeah.
When you've spent hours working on something and someone appreciates
to get that
it.
Yeah. Back at you, yeah. Mm. But it's the promoters over here. You know, the whole pay-to-play stuff is absolute nonsense. And for anyone who doesn't...
Explain to that because a lot of our listeners might not be in bands.
Well, for anyone who's like not in a band and isn't aware of what pay-to-play is, basically like a venue... will contact a band and say, would you like to play at this venue? And it's usually a venue that's kind of sought after, like Academy 3 in Manchester, for instance. Mm. Your chance to play at the Academy in Manchester and all
support
this kind of
slot
stuff.
Kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Or, you know, or even just Academy 3 where they just put four kind of unsigned bands on, you know. Night and Day used to do it. It depended on the promoter, though.
Mm. Won't mention names.
We won't mention names.
Although, anyone...
There is... Anyone who's from Manchester and who's been in a band will probably know.
Yeah.
A certain name will be springing to mind now.
We call him Jeff.
We'll call him Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff Man.
It's the Jeff... it's the Jeff Man. Hello, it's the Jeff Man. And, and what they'll do is they'll contact the band and then they'll say, do you want to play? And then the band will say, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And then they'll say, right, we're going to post you 60 tickets. You've got to sell 30 of them. And if you don't sell 30 of them, you've got to pay us the difference of what you don't sell. So it's literally you're paying to play at a venue who's asked you to play.
Or you end up flogging them to friends and family that have seen you a million times.
Exactly.
So your audience is filled with people that you know.
Exactly.
Which is not what a band wants. No. You know, so you've got four bands that have all brought family and friends that all disappear after each band has played.
Yeah, it's moving in exactly the opposite direction from what a band wants. If a band plays in Manchester, they want to play to a Manchester audience, a new audience. They don't want to play to the mum and dad and their uncle and stuff like that. You probably don't give a flying
fuck. Again, going
about
back to what you want to do is you want to play to people that have never heard of you, that want to either enjoy music or not enjoy it.
Yeah.
You just want to give
them...
There's
very few venues that have established audiences for new music.
Yeah.
There's a couple in Manchester that have established audiences, but the rest of them, they've just died on their arse. I remember once, a few years ago, a venue in London rang me about the Minions playing. And they said, we've got this venue, blah, 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 blah. Would you like to play in a couple of months? I was like, yeah, that'd be great. And they said, right, okay, well, we've got a ticketing system. And my eyes rolled back when I heard that. And they said, like, you've got to sell 50 tickets. And I said, I said 50 tickets. I said, how am I supposed to sell 50 tickets? We're from Manchester. How am I supposed to sell 50 tickets in London? And this woman said to me, well, what a lot of bands do from outside of London, they'll hire a coach and sell the 50 tickets to all the mates and then bring all the mates down to London. And it's like, and I said to her, well, why don't we just play Manchester and then, you know, I mean, how much does a coach cost to hire? 300 quid?
Yeah.
At least. So go to London.
And you've got to convince your friends to go to London and spend a lot of their money.
Yeah, exactly. And I said, I said, and what happens? I said, what happens if we don't sell the 50 tickets? And she said, oh, well, we don't do refunds.
Wow.
And I just went, bye, and just put the phone down.
At what point is that all right, though? Like,
the thing is, they target young bands.
Yeah.
You know, like 18-year-old kids who are just starting out, and it's like, oh, some venue in London's rung us, and they want us to play. They want us to play in London, man. This is it. This is the big time. Mm. All we've got to do is sell 50 tickets. That's fine. We'll get a coach. And the thing is, that might work if a band's just starting out and they've got loads of friends and they're all on the buzz of following this band around. They might go to a trip to London. But when you've been in a band for 6 years already...
No. Yeah, you know, yeah.
No one's going to...
That's basically exploitation, isn't it?
It's
fucking awful.
And they often dress it up as a battle of the bands or something like that. And they'll say, like, you know...
there's a
prize. You get like a day in a recording studio. It's like, what? So I can record half a song. And then...
you can do that in my bedroom.
We'll get the drum tracks down in a day.
Yeah.
You know. and then they'll say, like, first heat. And they say, like, the first heat is here, then the second heat, and then the final is here, and there's, like, this... You can win £500 and, like...
You have to sell 500 tickets
for
this one.
But you've got to sell, like... Yeah, you've got to sell, like, epic tickets for it. And it's, like...
It's bizarre, isn't it, really?
It's a con. It's a massive con.
It's bonkers.
These people... who promote these type of gigs, they are not interested in music whatsoever.
No.
They don't give a flying shite about music whatsoever. All they want to do is make money. Exactly. And it's a scam. It is basically a scam.
Yeah, and the band's getting nothing out of it.
No.
They can't sell merch. They can't...
I mean, I remember the last pay-to-play we did was at Academy 3.
Yeah.
And I think I'd pushed for it. And... But it's the stress of trying to sell these tickets.
And it wasn't a great gig, that.
No. Because the thing is, you sold...
Great stage, great sound.
I was still selling tickets. I sold a ticket to you. You turned up quite late. And I sold a ticket to you and a guy that you turned up with. And that was like our last two tickets. And I was stressing out because it was like, they're going to fucking, like, ask for money or stuff like that. And then you wound up because of that. And then you do a shit gig. And there was still only, like... Not it wasn't even like a quarter full.
No.
The place.
Some of the best gigs we've played are where you show up, they've got all the gear there, and it's just full of kids.
Yeah,
you know, like we played that school once. I don't know where it was. Where Al got his car stuck in mud.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was atmosphere
in
there was
incredible.
Like every band, the crowd just went mad for, didn't they? It was such a great atmosphere. Dead Pets played, didn't they?
Dead Pets, yeah.
And it was like everyone just went mad for it. Just like. And everyone buzzed off it, like the band buzzed off it, because it was just a great atmosphere. It was like, I don't know, it made me feel like a kid again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even though we were like 10 years older than the audience, it was like, I don't know, it was like being in a film or something. It was weird.
Yeah.
Such a good atmosphere.
So, pay-to-play gigs, hit or shit?
Shit.
Massively shit.
Massively shit. Shit. Fuck them all.
Find a venue that has a PA system and it'll just let anyone play. And you can turn up and just watch a gig and watch some bands.
Yeah.
They're the best places to play.
If you are 18, start in a band.
Don't.
Avoid Jeff Mann.
Yeah.
Avoid the Jeff Mann.
Yeah, if anyone comes up to you...
Jeff with a V, though.
The J man.
Yeah, if his first letter is a... First name is just a letter, then...
I don't even know if he's still going anymore.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, so any kids listening, pay to play, bad. Stick to promoters that have got a good reputation.
Mm. And don't ask you for money.
Yeah.
Or not promoters, people who actually own venues and are just willing to put on a gig. Mm.
We're old.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are.
Old and
full of knowledge.
But wise.
It's because we never made it.
Yeah.
We're bitter.
Steve made it.
Fuck the world.
He's in Tulsa with you now. Jeremy kept saying we. Yeah, when we finished the set.
Oh, fuck. That
was easy. All right, on to the next segment. Good segue there. Let's get the theme up.
Teases and trailers, Michael Bay's failures, we never asked for this, hit or shit.
You're not going to do the French version?
Oh shit,
was the guitar. Can you remember it? Where's the words?
There are you. Use your words. Yeah, Lewis has devised a special French accoutrement to the to the segment.
Excuse me.
I think I just made that word up.
Accoutrement. You just went French.
Oui.
Yeah.
Away.
Away. Okay, so
bollocks. I'm not singing it.
Of course you are. John's gonna allow.
I'll do the bass.
Tenor. Is that bass? Tenor.
We've not rehearsed.
Jesus. Is that picking up? Yeah. Alright, so it's gonna go like
Check it in.
Hang on.
Where's the words?
Get the words.
Oh yeah.
No, the one that's not English. One, two, three, four.
Jesus Alamorque, let's get the Michael Bay on Jamel de Mandicelle. Frappe on the
Mailed.
Mailed.
It's all shit.
All right.
Hang on, I've got the.
Alright, kids.
Do you need to turn this off?
No, no, it's fine, I think.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Ba, 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 ba.
What do you want to do first?
Alright guys, so anyone that's never heard this bit before, this is when we review the recent teasers and trailers that have been released on the internet. And we decide if they are hit or shit.
Or frapper or de la merde.
Good lord. Mondo.
Flash or gash.
So what's first, Johnny?
The Good Dinosaur. Which...
I didn't know anything about this until you showed it to me about...
I didn't know it existed.
...half an hour before we started.
I didn't know it existed. I just found it the other day. Apparently it's a Disney Pixar film.
It was only a teaser, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a teaser been released. It doesn't really give anything away other than the fact that it's sort of...
It seems to suggest what would have happened if that massive meteor
yeah, hadn't killed the dinosaurs yeah. off, basically. It looks...
Should have had them all driving cars and, like, smoking cigs and stuff.
What if they'd evolved into what is now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. Maybe it does that.
They've already done that, though, didn't they? Fucking Super Mario Brothers.
They did it with that. Jumba the Dinosaurs. That TV series with the animatronic.
There's like the Flintstones, but dinosaurs. Yeah.
That creepy baby. Yeah, but the Mario, the alternate universe in the Mario movie is where people have evolved from dinosaurs instead of...
Yeah, there was an episode of Star Trek Voyager where they met a race of people that had evolved from reptiles rather than mammals.
Yeah.
The bird guy in Buck Rogers was from a planet that had evolved similarly to Earth, but they'd evolved from birds rather than from
simians.
I feel like sometimes was evolved from birds.
Eh?
Yeah.
Why?
Don't know. Just do.
You feel like you were?
Yeah.
Why?
Why do you peck stuff?
No, I'm a... I don't know.
What do you shit on cars and like?
do you collect stuff and build a nest?
Yeah.
Like Ralph
just
at work.
Ralph.
There's a pigeon at work. One at windows if you like open blinds and look down it by
can help, what does he do? He wait tables.
You've had an half of fucking staff there.
He helps me.
Jesus. Fucking Ralph.
Speaking to someone and they said,
"I'll tell you what."
Said, said the found God in prison. I was like, "What was he in for?"
Where's your heart joke from?
Uncle George.
That was a pure original.
Was that
Hutchinson witticism? That.
Yes. Okay, now
came from nowhere. Anyway, you watched The Good Dinosaur today. Yeah. I think.
I just wanted to finish talking about Ralph for a second.
Right, go on then.
The pigeon at work. I'm worried that our manager Dom, I'll say his name, fuck it, he's going to find this pigeon and attack it.
Where is it?
Do you know where the bar is at work?
Yeah.
There's like some windows to the left of it, and behind that is the backyard.
Mm.
You can't really reach it because there's like a stairwell underneath that window. So it's in that windowsill. Like you can't even see. You only notice it when you look through the window. It's like when you're outside, you can't even
it's
see
really
it.
It's really small nest just in the corner of the windowsill.
But Dom has a tendency to not be nice to
animals.
There was a
textbook psychopathic.
Well, you haven't heard the fucking worst of it. He Oh, fuck. I'm not going to tell people where I work, but we found a mouse.
Yeah.
At work. Like a baby mouse, like.
Yeah, we had like a bit of a mouse problem with
it. Not rats.
For getting in.
Mice.
Like a field mouse.
Yeah.
It was like the size of your thumb. Yeah. It was like a tiny little fucker. Yeah. And Dom found one.
Yeah.
And how did he kill it?
He caught it and then he filled a sink and held it underwater.
Fuck you, know.
Nice and dark.
The weirdest way of doing it I've ever seen. Like, he could have just thrown it outside.
Hmm. Standing on it would have been more humane.
Yeah. Or just like so grabbing its tail and whacking it on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, some things running through your mind in that situation. Like, right, I've caught a mouse. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I'll fill the sink up, which will take a minute, and then
drain it.
Yeah, I'll drain it. Jesus.
I'll go with plan A.
Well, I'm hoping Ralph doesn't get drowned.
Look at your name.
We'll come in one day.
Never name the animals that aren't your pets. It's like when you're raising animals to eat, don't name them because you won't want to eat them.
I don't want to eat Ralph. Well,
I think Ralph will end up like burnt at the stake or something.
He'll end up on a fucking special next week.
Yeah, pigeon pie.
Ralph pie.
Ralph burgers.
Ralph for Tui.
Oh. Just his head there staring at me. I've got a picture of Ralph. I'll put it on the website when this episode goes live. This one's for Ralph.
Yeah. Hashtag pray for Ralph.
Oh, that's an e-pray as well. Yeah. We don't want to
pray for Ralph.
Yeah. All right, then, you know, he might want some worms. Good lord. So, friendly dinosaur.
Friendly dinosaur.
What's he called?
The good dinosaur.
The good dinosaur. Do you reckon that, because we've only seen the teaser, is that mean he's good? Like, he's good at his job? Or he's a good man? Or dinosaur, in this case.
I don't know. Maybe all the other dinosaurs are evil.
Well, in the teaser, all the dinosaurs look kind of realistic looking. And then this looks like a little kind of cartoon.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed with that. He looks too cartoony.
So I don't know what the deal is with that. And there seems to be like a kid riding on his back, or there's some kind of human character involved.
It's a bit hard to kind of interpret a second teaser.
I reckon the other dinosaurs eat people. And he doesn't.
That makes him a good dinosaur.
Yeah, to humans.
I don't know why they've done this. Because they could just set it while the dinosaurs were alive. There must be a reason why they've done the
alternate.
Yeah, why universe, did this asteroid not hit? And,
yeah.
I mean, I like the Pixar movies. They don't seem to fault at all, really.
I've not watched them all. I like Toy Story. Toy Story films. Did they do a fourth one? Well, they're doing
I think they're doing a
they're
doing
they probably one. Will do, yeah.
See, I think they're flogging a dead horse there, because I think Toy Story 3 wraps it up nicely.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Wrapped up the whole thing really well.
Really well, I thought. I enjoyed Toy
and
Story
And to do a fourth 3. One, I can't... I mean, I think it'll be good, because they always are, but does it really need to be made? Why can't they just do something else?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they know it's a cash cow. Although, well, all, it'll Pixar, be like, all Pixar films...
Toy Story 2 anyway. Was, like, alright, wasn't it? It wasn't amazing.
Yeah. I quite like Toy Story. Toy Story 3 was quite dark, wasn't it? Because it was like the prison camp.
One was really fucking dark. You know, when he goes to that... When Woody goes to that kid's...
Yeah, the third one felt a lot more like the first one. It had more emotion to it, whereas the second one just had this kind of vague story.
It was sort of, the second one was sort of lifting off with the first one ended, wasn't it? It was like,
I can see if
Buzz
did,
now knows that he's a toy.
Yeah.
Let's extend on that to other characters that...
Yeah.
You know. It had Kelsey Grammer in, didn't it?
I really like that, though. I like that kind of the kind of toy politics that came into it. Like, these toys know that they are collectibles, and that's all they want to do with their life is just be in a museum. But they know that they're only worth anything if Woody is with them as a set.
As a set, yeah.
It was a cool idea.
They're totally aware of, like, completely aware of their own existence and the potential that they have. And the kind of the prospector, who is actually the least popular toy, he's the one who's most obsessed with becoming,
because he's nothing
raising,
without the others.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he kind of bullies them all.
Classic
into,
villain, like
yeah, and he bullies them all into his own agenda. You know, it's classic villain behaviour.
What a dickhead.
Good dinosaur. I think it'll be a hit, but I can't really say much else on it.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it because I do like the Pixar movies. They're always good to see. They're always quite, you know...
Is Godzilla a good dinosaur? Or is he not a dinosaur?
He's been made a Japanese citizen.
I know, yeah. I saw that, yeah.
Good on him. It's about time.
Yeah. I'd love to have been at that ceremony. I bet it was fucking mental.
Oh, God.
I'd love to have been the
guy. Putting like a medal on like a fucking guy
in a rubber suit.
Yeah, in a rubber suit. Brilliant.
Who was in the
suit? I wonder if he made the noise.
Oh, so wicked if you had like a speaker built in. Thank you. You're telling it like as like a 10-minute speech. Like,
and they build him like a little mini city so he can just like jump on it.
Like on stage.
Yeah.
Godzilla's going to perform for us tonight.
He's going to destroy a scale model of Tokyo.
He's going to drain some mice.
Special guest Mothra.
Mothra is like
he introduces
like the opening. Yeah.
What was the noise that Mothra made?
It's just a thing on wires. It's not even a
guy. What was the noise that Mothra made?
No.
Rodan.
You know, like Mothra comes out with a human voice, like up next.
It's a great honor of mine. Yeah. I've worked with him for many years.
Mecha Godzilla just think crowd like.
Yeah, pissed off.
Crowd full of fucking villains.
Yeah, all fuming. And then the ceremony ends with a massive brawl.
Compa, Ming the Merciless.
Yeah, up next. Oh, I'm a little out of my depth here. Anyway, yeah, dinosaurs.
I think it'll be good, that.
Hit.
I'm going with hit. Oh, shit.
Oh, no, it's not shit. What's,
what's the next one?
Macbeth.
Sorry, we're having...
Macbeth.
So they've remade Macbeth with Michael Fassbender.
Hmm.
in the titular role. And we were saying that it looks very nice, very well shot.
Yeah.
Good imagery. But again, you know, it's like, it's been done so many times. Everyone knows. Everyone dies at the end of Macbeth.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, if you've not read the
1606 play Macbeth.
You've had a few fucking 100 years for a read it. So it's your own damn fault.
Well, yeah, Macbeth does not end well. But it's a good story. It's a good play. There's been about...
But doesn't everyone die at the end of every Shakespeare?
Pretty much, yeah. Mm.
Not that I'm well versed on the subject, mind you.
No, there's a lot of death in there.
Plenty of death. He loved his death, old Shakespeare did.
The macabre.
What you were saying before, though, is they've gone back to sort of traditional Shakespeare, haven't they? They've set it in the period.
Yeah, because, there's a habit with Shakespeare of like updating him and setting him in like, you know, the Cold War or having him as gangsters or.
Romeo
and
Juliet.
I mean, I quite like Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
It's awesome,
you know?
Good film.
But again, an updated version. But I think Game of Thrones has had a lot to do with people very much like that medieval aesthetic in films, don't they? Now people are used to it, so people will accept the film Macbeth set in its own time.
Yeah,
a lot more, and it does look cool. It looks very well shot, very cinematic. Which you've got to really, you've got to add something to it. You can't just have people walking about talking.
No, it needs to. I don't think it'll be kind of like what Ridley Scott did with like Robin Hood and Noah, because they were. I didn't really enjoy
it. Well, I mean, the thing is that the play's already there and it's already a well written play. They don't need to add to it.
No,
you know,
most of the groundwork's done.
Yeah.
Did you watch Joss Whedon's Shakespeare?
No,
he did. What did he do? Much Ado About Nothing. I think he did.
Kenneth Branagh did that as well. Kenneth Branagh did loads, didn't he?
But that was set modern day. Yeah. Like, families living in, like, a suburban...
Yeah, you see, I don't really like that very much.
It was all shot in black and white, but I never watched it. But I heard it was good. I heard reviews that it was
You see, it's like, you know, they'll do something like that, and it's all very modern, and then they come out with, like, the Shakespearean language, and sort of jars, you know. Whereas seeing them in the period that it was written in, it sits better, I think.
Yeah, it does. Because it can't be hard to follow, can it, Shakespeare, at times? So, yeah, I think if you do put it in a setting where it's kind of confusing, it almost confuses it even more, doesn't it? And makes it more hard to follow.
Which is the dialogue. One?
Especially when you've got lots of characters with obscure names and you just kind of get lost in it.
The dialogue was written melodically, though, wasn't it? Like, it was written almost to, like some of the words he'd change himself and, like, bend so they'd, like, it almost...
Well, I mean, Shakespeare invented lots of...
colloquialisms?
invented words that are used today, and phrases like words like lily livered. That's all I can think of. But there's like lists of like loads that I simply look up now while you're talking.
Did you read the Star Wars books that they transferred into Shakespearean plays? I've got the first one, but they took the Star Wars movies and transferred them into Shakespearean, and they're really funny because if you know the films really well,
that sounds really interesting. Actually,
I'll lend you the book. It's cool. Very funny.
There you go. Filth around something. We're getting busted.
So
busted. You're doing an illegal podcast.
So Shakespeare invented words like gloomy, hobnob.
Gloomy?
Hobnob?
Yeah. To hobnob. Not the biscuit. He didn't invent the fucking biscuit. Like, to hobnob with someone, you know.
Yeah.
Gust. Frugal. Exposure.
No.
Dawn.
I think this list is bollocks.
No.
Oh, it says he came up with bollocks.
Outbreak. Noiseless. Mimic. So, words that are just like standard today, he came up with them.
Wow.
And whether that was, I mean, there's rumours floating about Shakespeare's kind of authenticity. You know, there's one theory that William Shakespeare didn't exist, and that the plays are written by a group of different people, but they were all under the umbrella of William Shakespeare. These are the ones that, you know, say that William Shakespeare basically like stole plays and sort of rehashed them. But I don't know if that's true. I mean, it's
possibly to a point. I can imagine taking ideas from other things, possibly. But, I, as a kid, we did Shakespeare at school and stuff, and we did Midsummer Night's Dream.
I love that.
And I like that.
I saw that, the actor got in Balin. It's fucking brilliant.
Well, it was one of the first...
Hilarious.
One of the first times I'd sort of embraced Shakespeare, because, like, I'd heard of him but never bothered reading it, you know. And I'd read kind of fantasy stuff. I loved The Hobbit as a kid and stuff like that. And then we did Macbeth first, and it is very sort of dour and kind of dark. And Midsummer Night's Dream's just fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I really dug it. I thought it was good. And that was turned into a movie that was kind of, styled very well. Mm. If they were to do that in a sort of different setting, it really wouldn't work, I don't think.
No.
It's all shit.
I don't think it's going to be a hit as such, but I think it's going to be good. I can't do black and white with these.
You know, just tell us the fucking, like, gross money it's going to make.
I think it looks, like you say, it looks pretty. It looks very well shot. Fassbender is great. I do enjoy watching him.
I think schools and colleges across the land will go and watch that.
Yeah.
Because it's on the curriculum.
In fairness, I don't think it's something I'll go to the cinema and see. But
I'd be interested to it, because it does look very cinematic, and the visual scope of it looks really good. So I think it would be worth watching in the cinema.
Yeah,
I think the audience will be a bit. It won't be a typical because
I have seen it before and I know the story. I'm not in a hurry to go see it. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to say hit because it is probably his most famous play. Probably, well, maybe after Romeo and Juliet.
I think it'll be a hit.
Yeah.
Again, for going back to sort of traditional roots with it. Yeah.
Okay, so Macbeth, 2015, or was it 14? Because I think it was out at Sundance.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, I think that would be 15, then, right? Has it already been Sundance?
I don't know.
Fuck it. Hit.
It might be Sundance this year.
Tis a hit.
Right. Tis a hit.
Oh God.
It's one hobnob of a film. I'd like to dunk that. Right, next and final, the third
Bridge
film.
Of Spies. Is
Bridge of Spies,
one, which I'd never heard of.
I'd never heard of it.
This is like this film. You'd seen the trailer to The Dinosaur. You'd seen the trailer to Macbeth. And none of us had seen the trailer to Bridge of Spies.
No.
And it looks like it's like a Cold War.
Who directed it?
Spielberg. See, I didn't know what Spielberg were doing next.
I didn't know. But when you put the trailer on, I sort of got a whiff of Spielberg. Yeah. And then it came up and I was like, fucking hell.
Yeah. And plus Tom Hanks is in it. He's in every fucking Spielberg film.
Yeah.
And it, to me, it looks like... You see, what I like about Spielberg is that, like, the best films he's done have been films that only he could direct. You know, they had that kind of magic to him.
Mm.
Like Close Encounters, E.T., Jurassic Park. You know, they were films that they just had that kind of sparkle to him, that Spielberg sparkle. And then he made Schindler's List.
Mm.
Indiana Jones as well, obviously.
Mm.
And then he made Schindler's List. And well, you know, Schindler's List, great film and everything like that. He seemed to go down a very much more grown-up route. You know, like he was making films for people his own age then, rather than making films for kids, which I think he's better as a kids' film director.
He's kind of limited his style as well. When you think about, like you were just saying, E.T.'s like a sci-fi family adventure, Jurassic Park. It's kind of a...
Well, it was groundbreaking.
Again, a kind of sci-fi. Yeah. But then he's like, Jaws is kind of horror.
Yeah.
You know.
Another one I forgot about Jaws. Jaws is, you know, another one that...
Exactly. But it has his style, and it's very much Spielberg.
Yeah.
But genre-wise, he used to have quite a wide spectrum, didn't he?
And he seems to do a lot of films...
He's kind of pigeonholed himself.
Yeah, he seems to do a lot of films that involve FBI agents. Like I said, like he's replaced Nazis with FBI agents now as the kind of main kind of shock troops that come and get you.
Mm.
You know? And it looks like... To me, it looks like anyone could have directed that film. It doesn't look... It doesn't look...
I wasn't
massively
impressed.
Special. No, it doesn't look great. No. And the thing is, it's about... They're trying to put all this like tension and suspense on an event, a true, because it's obviously based on true events. Like some, it looks like Tom Hanks is defending a traitor, like a Russian defector or something.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's all like espionage, but the tension seems to rely on, you know, oh, you know, this could end it for America, you know, but we know it doesn't, you know, so.
Spoiler.
So the tension evaporates immediately because you know that the outcome of it wasn't as disastrous as they're saying it might be in the film.
Everything was fine.
Everything has worked out great for America.
Yeah. You did a bang-up job, I say. Hobnob. It's fair to switch the power on before it dies.
Okay. Professional.
Yeah, that's us. So, yeah, special. I say shit.
I'm saying shit.
I'll probably never watch that movie, I'll be honest.
No, I probably won't make an effort to watch it either. Yeah, I'm probably going to say
if it was that
shit.
Or the remake.
I'm sad that I'm saying shit, though, because I like Spielberg, I like Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think it'll be...
But
who did you use?
What's his name?
It's not Spielberg.
Chris Columbus directed.
Was it Chris Columbus?
No, he wrote it.
Or was it Joe? No, it wasn't Joe Dante, was it?
No.
It was
Chris Columbus wrote it, I think.
Zemeckis? Was it Zemeckis? Or who directed the first Superman?
Richard Donner.
It was Richard Donner who did the Goonies.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I'm going to find out now.
So they're all just one big team, then, aren't they?
Yeah. That's it. They should do something together again.
Hmm.
Richard Donner.
Richard Donner, right.
You know, Richard Donner, another one, great director of kid, like kids films were not little kiddie films, like
it's Chunk.
Yeah. He's like a lawyer now or something. Wow. Like a high flying city lawyer.
Good lad.
Do you reckon they make him do the truffle shuffle?
I bet he's got a sick car now.
When his case is losing, he's like, but this man raped and killed three children. And then just like, oh, all right, yeah, okay.
No, I reckon he's got like a six pack now, and he works on it every day. So whenever anyone says, "Hey, Chunk, do the truffle shuffle," he lifts it up and says, "What with this bitch?" You know, yeah, just runs a peg over it.
I can guess he's now back and wiggles it, and gets arrested.
Whereas Corey Feldman's still talking shit
massively.
He did a film, didn't he, a bit ago with what's his name from Terminator 2.
Yeah,
the kid.
Yeah.
His
fucking name. He's a smackhead now, isn't he? Or was, yeah. Sorry.
Ex. Yeah, the guy who was in Terminator 2.
Yeah.
What's his name?
He gives it an F.
Does it?
I think so, yeah.
Ferris?
No.
Ferris!
Ferris Jones. That's a good name, that, actually.
Ferris Jones.
Why was that so funny?
Indiana Jones' son.
Oh, God.
Edward Furlong.
Edward Furlong, that's it. It'll be gone with an F.
Yeah, they did a film together.
The zombie one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know someone who was a producer on that.
All right.
I've never watched it.
Sounds awful.
I think I'd rather watch Bridge of Spies.
I think it was awful.
Yeah,
but I can't say because I've not watched it.
It's all shit.
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 And I think that this Bridge of Spies, I think really it'll be a good film. Because I don't think Spielberg knows how to make a shit film, although Lincoln was a bit dull. I don't think Spielberg, he's got a real good grasp of storytelling, Spielberg, better than anyone, I think, who's alive at the minute, you know, in terms of gripping an audience immediately. Yeah. He knows exactly how to pace a film and stuff like that. So I think it will be a good film, but in terms of hit or shit, I think I'm going to lean to shit.
Yeah, I'm going to lean to shit also.
All right. Seems we already said that 5 minutes ago.
Shit.
It's definitely it's double shit.
Double shit.
It gets the double two shit shits. Treatment. Two shits out of five. All right, oh, cool. So that's hit or shit for this week.
Good.
Or what was the French term for it?
Frapper or de mer.
Frapper or de la mer.
Something like that.
Frapper.
Frapper. Frapper.
Frappuccino.
Frapper.
Right. Well, do you want to talk about the...
What, the actual topic of the show?
Yeah.
Topic du jour.
Topic du jour.
Du jour.
Du jour, that means of the jour. Day.
Yeah, is that... Oh,
it's right. Close.
Well, topic à la du jour.
Topic of the week.
Topic of the day. Which
well,
is...
Well, we always try and come up with a theme, at least, or something to... it's more or less just to hold the show down, isn't it? Like,
well, it's just to
track.
Give us a...
Focus.
Yeah, it gives us a path that we can wander off at certain stages.
And hopefully Uncle George will make an appearance.
Oh,
I miss Uncle George. Never even met him.
I know.
He doesn't have a sidekick.
He doesn't have a sidekick.
No, he doesn't.
Which is the topic of the show today, sidekicks.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, sidekicks. It just popped to my head.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of a...
It's quite a big subject, though, when you... Like,
isn't it?
Someone says sidekick, do you think, or whatever. But then when you really
who
start
you think
thinking
of?
About it, there's quite a...
Who's the first sidekick?
Robin.
Robin, yeah.
Wow.
By the Boy Wonder, yeah.
That's but, interesting.
Because I think because he was the first person... When I was a kid and someone was explaining to me what a sidekick was, Robin was the first person that
do you think it's like almost the derogatory term, sidekick? It sounds a bit like, because it's not, you know, you're not the top dog, you're just fucking...
Yeah, it is.
The side.
But it's the fact that it's got kick on
why,
it, you know.
Why Robin rings a bell is like when you're a kid and like watching the Batman series, the 60s Batman series, when you're a kid... Robin's portrayed as a boy, and he doesn't really know a lot, and he's like constantly learning from Batman. So you kind of put yourself in his shoes, don't you? And I think that's why sidekicks kind of came about, especially in comics, because like kids were reading comics, and until kind of Spider-Man came out, all the main heroes were adults, with like adult issues.
Yeah.
So to introduce kids as sidekicks gave.
Something for
a character
readers
for them
to relate
to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and then Spider-Man came along and he was a kid, so it was like, that was fine. But, I think sidekicks came about as a kind of, just...
Well, I mean, Marvel really went down the kit, because like, then they had the X-Men, and they're all
kids.
Yeah,
they're young, yeah.
I was reading about Wolverine, and apparently he was originally going to be a kid.
Mm.
But obviously, then they fleshed out his character and changed him
into a 40-year-old man.
But I forgot what I was saying.
Some shit about sex.
Oh yeah, the kids. Yeah, the Marvel. A lot of the heroes were kids.
Yeah.
After that, you know.
Well, I think that's probably what happened. They introduced these sidekicks, and then almost it was like, well, kids are relating to these characters, so then. evolved into them turning the heroes into kids, yeah. because then they could instantly just relate to them rather than relating to some.
Yeah. Another one I've just thought of
that they introduced.
Yeah. Another one I've thought of, which kind of, and we'll get to Thingy in a minute.
Mm.
But another one I'm thinking of, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Mm.
Now Roger Rabbit is the sidekick in that.
Yeah.
But the whole film is about him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The main guy in it is Bob.
Yeah.
Good old Bob.
God bless
him. And he's trying to look after his, like, his fucking, well, who becomes his sidekick. Mm. You know?
Yeah, but that does happen in certain cases, doesn't it? With,
well, we're saying about the new Mad Max film. And there was an article, I know you said it, but I was reading an article that said that Mad Max is the sidekick in his own film.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of really accurate, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Is,
you know, he kind of, this main story is around what Charlize Theron's character does and what Nicholas Hoult's character does. You know, they're the kind of main two people who, yeah. like,
they flesh out the story.
Well, they've got stuff to lose. Yeah, Mad Max doesn't really have anything to lose.
Well, it's their tale.
Yeah.
The story's built around what they're doing and where they're going.
He could almost not be, though.
Really. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could take him at the film and it still probably makes sense.
Well, he doesn't have a tail. He turns up at the beginning.
There's no fucking lines.
There's no...
All he wants to do, Mad Max, and this is the thing about Mad Max, all he ever wants to do is just go home.
Yeah.
All the way through the film, he just wants to go home. He can't be arsed with it, but he gets stuck with these people, these insane people, and he has to either sort it out or just survive.
Yeah, he just wants to keep going. He just wants to go on the road and just survive, doesn't he?
Back to Mad Max.
But saying that about sidekicks acting as like a conduit for like the audience, like Robin was, Mad Max is as well, because he's the only not kind of person you can really relate to, because everybody else in it is so insane that it's beyond human behaviour what a lot of people do in the Mad Max films.
Yeah, so,
you know, especially like, you know, the latest one.
Yeah, you can't relate to them characters.
No, but you can relate to Mad Max, because he's just like a normal guy stuck in them, and everything that he does, you're like, yeah, I'd probably do that. So that's what he's there for, really. Mm. Whereas if they didn't have him in, it'd just be like this crazy thing where you didn't really know, because nothing's explained in it, is it? It's just it just shit is happening, and you've got to work it out for yourself.
Just like Mad Max is, basically.
And some of it is like explained to Max, but very briefly.
Yeah.
And you're kind of figuring it out with him.
Yeah. Yeah. You're thrown into the film just like he is.
Yeah.
Have you seen them doing a Mad Max video again?
Are they? A tie into the film?
No, it's like another story.
Is it all in cars and shit? Can you drive?
No, you can drive. It's like open world. Like,
right.
You go across the desert. It looks like Fury Road. Like, looks like a lot of the images are from that. What imagery, should I say? And it's a bit like how the Batman games work, the recent ones. You know, a lot of the combat's very, just the way it's not like just slash a button. It's like someone's about to hit you.
It's
press
very
a button.
Counter based.
Yeah,
kind of.
It looks alright, but it looks very like. To make a game of Mad Max, you'd have to have different locations that don't look the same. Because in a film, you know, that film is all on the fucking
desert,
road. Yeah. But in a game, you'd want, you know, you're going to spend more than an hour on a game. You don't want to be looking at the desert for 7 hours.
Yes, you're driving from one place to another.
Yeah, like
driving across Australia in
I
real
know,
time.
That, like, what was that Western game? Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah.
That was barren.
Yeah.
When you think about it, you're riding a horse and you're just like...
But I love that.
I mean,
I didn't do any
brilliant
missions in that. I just fucking rode about on the house, like
shooting
like animals.
Just the desert. This is fucking hell, Steve.
And like, you know, eating.
How'd you drown it? Press Y.
Where's the drown button?
I used to, when I lived with Ollie, we used to, you know, smoke it. And we'd get on the train. In the game, and just sit on the train. Like,
yeah, that's what I used to do.
Down,
like, I used to do the exact same thing.
You used to do it in Grand Theft Auto. We'd like get in a taxi,
get on the subway,
and then set like the destination at the other side of the town. Get in a taxi, put it on cinematic view, and then just like skin up while the game's driving to this destination.
Yeah. On Grand Theft Auto 5, all I do is go in the fucking strip club. That's all I do.
I'm fucking sick of this.
Get drunk.
Going to the strip club, have about 7 shots of whiskey, and then
stumble
about and then go in and get a lap dance for about 20 minutes. And then come out and start a fight with all bouncers.
Just like real life.
And then you get thrown out at dawn and it's like the sun's just coming up and you're getting thrown out and you're like, you feel like you've had a night out.
You're a fucking lady, man. Jesus.
You feel like you've had a night out.
It's like, because you think, right, if that happened to me on a night out, I went to a strip club on my own and just got fucking blitzed. And then had a lap dance and kept touching the...
And then got thrown out.
And then got fucking... But not just thrown out, but like, kind of, because in the game, if like you touch their ass or something like that,
yeah.
Well, the guys, if the doorman sees you, fucking he grips you and throws you out. But then you can turn on him and like hit him.
Yeah.
And then like three or four other bouncers come. And you just have this massive, like, fucking 10-man brawl in this club. And then they just, like, if they sort of knock you out, it cuts to a scene where they're just, like, binning you out of the club at, like, 6 a.m.
Really? I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, Jesus. And then they just shut the door on you. And it's like, and you think, if that happened to me on a night out, that would be amazing. You'd be like, you'd be telling everybody about that.
You would, yeah, you would.
Went to a strip club on my own.
Well, you probably got me out of a strip club. What were you doing in a strip club? Oh, I don't know, I just went.
Kept touching her ass.
Yeah.
I got my head smashed in, though. It was brilliant.
If you did that in real life, I don't think I could be friends with you.
Why? Because I didn't take you with me?
Yeah, exactly. You fucking seedy bastard. Seriously, though, if you did do that in real life, that'd be fucking mental.
No, just for the record, I've never been to a strip club on my own.
I don't think anyone has they? JT probably has.
I think people have, just none of our friends that we know of.
JT has.
Right, okay.
Well, he used to like go.
Oh, Barney. Hello, Barney. Barney will have.
Tell your friends. Tell your wife.
And he won't be offended. His wife might, but.
Yeah, fuck it.
Sidekicks. I'll be honest, I can't think of any. What? Off the top of my head, sidekicks.
Well, we were trying to think of obscure.
There's loads of. Like, when you start thinking about it properly, there's loads of, like. You've got, like. Your Robins, your kind of boy wonders. And then you've got people who are like Chewbacca, who are like.
Yeah.
They are sidekicks, but. They're kind of a team, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think it's like...
Chewbacca and Han.
It's like Batman.
Even though Han's kind of the main man.
Yeah.
Chewie's not like some little fucking dweeb or whatever.
No, like Chewie gives him shit.
Chewie
like,
pulls people's arms off. Do you know what I mean?
And they do row with each other. Like more like a married couple.
Yeah. But, you know, and then there's like the sidekicks where the hero is a bit of a numpty. Like... Inspector Gadget's kind of thing like that. Hero's a bit of an idiot, and his sidekicks are Penny's his daughter or whatever, and the niece. Dog Brain niece. That's it. Yeah,
he's gay.
Spoiler alert!
You sounded so distraught then.
Spoiler alert! Come on.
Not wrong with that.
Where you know they technically save the day, and Gadget takes all the credit for it. So there are loads of different dynamics, really. Yeah. And then there's the sidekicks that go evil, and the sidekicks that go off and do their own thing, like Robin became Nightwing, you know, Bucky Barnes from Captain America goes off and becomes Winter Soldier and is technically a villain.
And he also became Captain America
at one point. Yeah, and he steps up.
So he's a villain and Captain America.
And that happens in Batman as well, don't it? Robin becomes... Batman at some point as well.
Back to Batman.
Yeah.
The ultimate
sidekick. So there is loads of different dynamics with it. The one thing I couldn't think of was a female hero with a male sidekick. Or you get males
what
with
about
female
sidekicks. One that's just sprung to mind.
Yeah.
Remember Maid Marian?
Oh.
The Merry Men.
Yeah. Fucking ace show, that.
Yeah. That was an absolutely brilliant show. Maid Marian was the hero and Robin Hood was the sidekick. And Robin Hood was a fucking dunce, wasn't he?
I'll tell you what, if they
but he
that
still
back,
got all the credit for everything because he was Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Because he was a bloke.
The cat out of Red Dwarf was in that as well, wasn't he?
Was it Baldrick as well?
Yeah.
Tony Robinson wrote it, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. No, it was great that. It was like adult comedy
yeah. kids show.
Yeah, yeah. Really good childhood show that they. They don't make them like they used to.
I wouldn't complain about paying for my TV license if they put that back on BBC. Yeah. Just repeats.
Not an iPlayer.
Remember the Rotten Trolls? You watched that?
Rotten Trolls?
Mm.
No.
That was what the hell was that? That was fucked up shit. I'll show you later.
Fred Flintstone and Barney.
Good.
Yeah.
I think when you say sidekick, I always think more like... I don't know, like with Flintstones... I wouldn't say... I mean, I guess if it was just them two, it'd be sidekick, but when there's like other dynamics like family and stuff, it sort of tears me away from it. When I think sidekick, I think Batman Robin or Secret Squirrel and that mole.
Danger Mouse and Penfold.
Yeah. Danger Mouse and Penfold, yeah.
Lewis and Stephen.
But then, but that's the kind of... that's the classic dynamic, though, isn't it? Of a hero and he's kind of... lesser counterpart, you know. Penfold's an idiot.
Yeah,
but
Danger Mouse was an idiot as well.
True. Yeah,
but Danger Mouse was very arrogant, and that's the thing as well.
Yeah, like, Danger Mouse is a prick.
When it comes to comedy, it was like the hero, as you say, is usually he's either an idiot like Inspector Gadget, or he's very arrogant like Danger Mouse was. Yeah.
I guess they have to be lesser. One of them has to be lesser because if they're both equal, then you don't see him as a sidekick. Say like, God, I can't think of any. Like, you know, like wrestling, like tag partners.
Yeah.
Say, like the Hardy Boys.
Mm.
You don't see one of them as the sidekick.
No. They're a team, aren't
they're
they?
A team. Yeah.
The Legion of Doom.
Were they the Spiky Fellas?
Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
Spiky Fellas.
Yeah. Bushwhackers, remember them?
Yeah, maybe Bushwhackers. Yeah.
Mosh and Thrasher, was it? Mosher and Thrasher?
Yeah.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
The Rockers with them. Shawn Michaels.
All girls have turned off now.
Shawn Michaels and who was the other guy? Was it Martin Jannetty? He fell out.
I used to like.
They fell out.
He fell out. Yeah, no, there was one. I remember one, watching it once, and it was when
one of them did.
Yeah, and it was when they turned Shawn Michaels into a heel, as they call it.
Is that a baddie?
Mm. Yeah,
or face. Is a goodie.
Face is a goodie and a heel is a baddie.
Right.
And they had like an... what happened was they were having a match and Marty Jannetty did the whole match on his own and didn't tag out. And he fucking just battered these two guys and beat them all. And Shawn Michaels was like... After the match, the bell
flipped
rang.
His lid.
And Shawn Michaels like came into the ring. He was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you know, it's like, why didn't you tag me? And Marty Jannetty's like just ignoring him. Next thing, fucking Shawn Michaels gives him like the sweet chin music. And then that was it. And then Shawn Michaels became a baddie for years after that.
Sweet chin music isn't a sexual innuendo, by the way.
No, it's just a massive kick to the face.
I'm going to give you some sweet chin music.
Sounds filthy, that.
A chin job.
Chin job. Balls on chin.
Anyway, that was wrestling. That's probably the only time we'll ever talk about wrestling.
Yeah, that was weird. It's like we talked about football or something. Sidekicks.
Walter White and Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a modern sidekick. Yeah.
Jesse Pinkman's like, obviously a sidekick because he's kind of... he's not an idiot, but he's very... he rushes into things too much. He doesn't engage his brain very much.
Mm. He's like,
and Walter White's always talking down to him and stuff like that. So Walter White kind of forces him into the role of sidekick, and Jesse kind of reacts against that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
By doing his own thing, like
I hadn't thought of that. I think C-3PO and R2-D2 as well. Like when you first introduced to them, you also almost automatically think that R2-D2 is a sidekick.
Mm. Yeah. But he's the clever one.
But yeah, he's the one with all the brains. He's the one sort of doing stuff. Yeah. And
I mean, C-3PO's
like he's clever, he's like but the bumbling idiot, isn't he?
Yeah,
he knows every language though.
Well,
so does C-3PO. He just so does R2-D2. So he just can't.
R2-D2 knows everything.
He talks to Luke when they're in the.
He translates on his screen, doesn't he? He's like
Luke just kind of understands him though, doesn't
he?
Because it reads out like a readout comes.
Yeah, but on Dagobah he like talks to him.
Yeah, no, I know. There's a bit where
use your inside voice.
There's a bit where R2-D2 goes. He like goes boo, boo, boo. And then Luke.
Oh, when he's worried. When.
And then Luke says, "If you're saying this was a mistake, you might be right."
Ah.
He says, "If you're saying,
cool."
So he can kind of pick up on like R2-D2's mood, but he can't translate what he's saying.
In Rebels, though, they understand the R4 unit or whatever it is.
Hmm. I don't know.
But it's like,
doesn't matter.
Han Solo and Chewie understand each other.
Yeah,
but they can't speak each other's languages.
Because
you assume that a Wookiee can't produce the sounds that a human makes, and a human can't produce the sounds that a Wookiee makes. Mm. But they understand each other. They both speak each other's languages.
Yeah.
They just can't replicate the language themselves.
Do you reckon?
Well, yeah, because I mean they have full conversations.
Isn't that,
right?
They've been best friends for like 30 years, living
well, it's like
together.
Skippy,
and they sort of like just know each other. They can just sense.
I think so, because like there's a bit.
Oh no, because there's a bit where they're where they're in the asteroid and they're actually in the belly of that monster. Oh no, it's when they're in the when they're about to jump down that trash chute in A New Hope. I don't care what you smell.
Yeah,
because so Chewie's obviously gone. Fucking all these things of shit.
Yeah.
We should do the movie with Steve, like
dubbed
Volvo Chewbacca.
Jesus, and he thinks
it's
yeah. Jesus, and I can smell shit and semen. I don't care what you smell.
What does he say at the end of New Hope though? When he just shouts,
"Brilliant!
Where's my man?
Brilliant!
Brilliant! Brilliant!"
He's like fucking like really special.
Brilliant!
That should be every line. He's in the trash chute.
Brilliant!
I don't care what you smell there now.
Brilliant! When that little. When they're walking down the hallway and pretending he's a prisoner and that little fucking vehicle comes up to him and he roars at it and it flies off.
Brilliant!
What about when he gets put in that cell after he's come out of the carbonite and he's like hugging him and he's like, "I'm all right, pal. I'm all right."
Brilliant.
Brilliant. It works for every scene.
Yeah. Oh god,
that's some editing we need to do.
Yeah, fucking hell. If anyone's got any time on their hand, YouTube.
What do you need to edit there?
Just put subtitles on it.
All right.
The entire movie, just with that.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh, I bet he's got a Velcro wallet as well.
His whole body fucking body's Velcro. What are you on about?
He's got that like bomb bag though, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, is that a satchel?
He's got a bomb bag.
Yeah, front, yeah.
Fucking Wookiee bomb bag.
He's got everything in it. Got his compass.
That's the title of this show, Wookiee Bum Bag.
Oh god, I was going to call it Brilliant Episode. Wow.
Oh, I'm laughed out.
Brilliant.
That was brilliant.
Cheers, Chewie.
Any more?
I don't know. It's an O and O.
Are we not?
I think we've exhausted sidekicks and the dynamic there. I think.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
It's been a quite brief one compared to some of the others we've done.
I guess. Yeah.
Clocking in at like nearly 2 hours and stuff.
We're trying to save bandwidth. That's what it is.
But if you like the show or you like anything that we've done, then please tweet us. At Wizard Sleeve.
Spelt
WZRDSSLEEVE. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wizard Sleeve.
WZRDS Sleeve. Yeah.
Wizard Sleeve. Wizards.
Because if you have less letters in your name.
The vowel-less wizard.
And if there's anything that we've missed out, in any of the episodes, let us know. If you want us to talk about anything in particular, if you have any ideas for topics.
If we've said things that are out of order tonight, let us know.
If I don't. because we don't care.
No, we like people that disagree. It's fun.
Yeah, we don't get any hate mail.
Do we not?
You know, we've never had any hate mail. To be honest, we've never had any mail, so...
Any love mail.
No feedback.
Love mail.
I'd look at it and go, brilliant.
Right, so, yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll...
See you next week.
See you next week. Well, we won't see you next week, but, you know, we'll do something next week, and then hopefully someone will listen to it and let us know that listen to it and whether they...
Yeah, tell your friends.
Like it. Yeah, tell your friends.
Tell your friends, fucking hell. Is anyone listening? I mean, am I talking into the endless void of the internet right now? Are my voices, our voices, just echoing into silence forever?
That's a bit deep.
It is that.
Well, yeah, technically, yeah.
I guess I am.
Someone listens, though, right?
We've got at least two listeners.
Yeah, there's Anthony Walters.
Hello.
Tell your friends.
Guy Pearson listens.
Guy Pearson, yeah. What would Chewbacca say?
Oh, we should... I don't think I have a Chewbacca noise on my phone.
I could put one in.
I know what Lando Calrissian would say.
Right, Lando's gonna...
Sign us off,
that's one. Get it right here, John.
Let's turn him up.
Alright, guys, see you next time.
Hello, what have we here?